I mean, you're the soccer man.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all soccer people.
This is Roots Pod.
Ryan Martin did mention that there have been moments in every match, a 15-minute window, where he feels like his side loses control, as this is an in-swinging ball, and it's headed home. Well, they've regained control now. They're back level, and it's Peter Wilson back on the score sheet.
Loudoun United 2, Oakland Roots 2. Welcome into Roots Pod. This is Aaron. I'm here with John and Peter. The game could have been an email, but we'll summarize it anyway, like the good substitute for an AI chatbot that we are, and then talk briefly about the coming weekend's match against El Paso Locomotive. Locomotive El Paso. This, I don't know. Like I said, I feel like this game could have been an email, which is a hard, weird thing to say for a 2-2 match. Loudoun's two goals both come from errors by the Oakland Roots. You know, I'm not going to say that Loudoun wasn't didn't play a quality match last Saturday, but Richard Amon's 9th-minute opener comes when Spiegel spills a rebound that he probably either should have controlled or directed not right back into the middle of the pitch, right? So that's one goal. Pedro Santos's second goal for Loudoun United is a penalty. And it wasn't like an egregious penalty. Bobosi Birahanga conceded the penalty, just going for the ball, got there late, and it was a foul. I'm not sure there was a huge amount of controversy there. It wasn't the most nailed-on penalty anyone's ever seen, but there it is. That's what Loudoun was able to create.
It is one of the annoying kinds of penalties where the player is dribbling away from the goal. And so it's like, I'm not saying it's not a foul and therefore not a penalty, but it's like, this wasn't an attack.
Yeah.
He was going, like when, you know, apropos of the Champions League over the last 2 weeks, someone shanks a shot right into the hand of a defender. And it's like, well, yeah, it's a handball, but that ball was headed for the corner flag.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I mean, Bobosi should have been more careful. But I guess that's all the more reason Bobosi should have been more careful.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, it's like he stuck his foot out and then the defender ran into it. Again, not that's saying it's not a foul.
Why you should be more careful. Don't stick your feet out in the box.
I wonder if he just did not expect that guy to be coming that fast.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. For their part, the Oakland Roots equalized in the 18th minute. Bertan Jackison off of a corner kick, like the Roots' fourth corner in 2 minutes or something. That was the Roots' sort of submission, their sign that they are in keeping with the current football meta. Corner kick after corner kick, finally get a goal. And then they were able to snatch a point from the jaws of defeat late. Peter Wilson in the 2nd minute of second half stoppage time off of a curler from Faisal Bitash, who's entry into the game really did sort of change things. You know, I think at the end of the day, if I could change one thing about this game, it's I would not play it in the Eastern time zone. Right? At the end of the day, you know, the Roots struggled in the second half, which I think is to be expected for the team that had to travel 3,000 miles to get there. And does Southwest even fly into Dulles? I don't even know where they landed. They might have had to land at Baltimore and then drive to Loudoun, which is just, I mean, the mind reels just thinking about that sort of thing. So you can sort of understand a little bit of fatigue there at the end. If there's another thing I would change, it's probably that the way that they were partnering Peter Wilson and Danny Trejo for the first 2/3 of the match, because I think the introduction of Velo and Batash there at the end really opened things up, especially for Wilson. But you know, the Roots were able to do much more in attack in the last 15 minutes of the game with those three on the pitch in the way they were linking up than they did really at any other time in the game. And I think if there's a lesson to take from this, other than let's not play that many more games on the East Coast, it's we need to really think hard about where we're using Danny Trejo. Is he going to be effective? Is this club going to be effective if he's playing in what was something like a 10 or a false nine role with Peter Wilson? Or do we need to maybe scrap that and have Velo and Batash at the head of the midfield more often if we want to get the most out of the attack and out of Peter Wilson specifically?
Yeah, that's Danny Trejo's a peculiar subject, right? I mean, there are points in each game where he wows me, honestly. He does things in possession that no one else on the roster can do. You know, I could think of multiple times in this last game, even where he frees himself up one-on-one, 2v1 with just, you know, amazing technical footwork that, yeah, like I said, no one else on this roster can do. It has came, you know, been a factor in goals. I think against Las Vegas, where he freed himself up 1v1, kind of dribbles forward, then sideways, then backwards, and then feeds Wolfgang, making a run into the box, and then Wolfgang assists Peter Wilson for his first goal of the season. But at the same time, it's kind of like sometimes it's wonderful and then sometimes it bites him. I could think of another time in early in the second half where instead of pulling the pass quickly, he wants to do something magnificent and it leads to a turnover around the midfield line and then everybody has to track back. Luckily, everybody tracked back really, really well in that moment. I think it even got praise from the announcers. But that's kind of Trejo, right? He will do these things where it's like, oh, wow, that is amazing. And then he'll kind of, put Roots in a bad spot occasionally. So you kind of have to ask, and I'm sure Ryan Martin is thinking this, like, oh, does the good outweigh the negative? And I think sometimes it does. But I think that for me, the biggest takeaway is just the attacking depth. And when one group isn't really clicking, you can switch them out and then put in a Velo, Faisal, Batash. And, you know, things might change around. There is just so much attacking quality on this roster, available on the bench, that Martin is going to have tough decisions to make every single game, and I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, that really came into play, like you said, Aaron. You know, Batash came onto the field and just really made the difference. Velo had some moments in possession where he moved the ball from the midfield line towards the box, and it looked wonderful. So, and that being said, there were some great moments in the first half. You look at Bertrand Jacquesson's header, like that was a beautiful, beautiful header. But he didn't do much after or before that. So it's really this interesting, thing that Martin has to watch. It's like, oh, am I getting quality out of options A, B, and C? Well, I have, other options on the bench. So I really like that. I wonder how Martin feels about that, because like you said, Trejo has been, a peculiar subject. He still hasn't scored or had a goal contribution, but I still see these moments of especially individual brilliance that, it's I haven't seen on Oakland Roots roster. So yeah, still something to watch. I'm not worried, but it is something to like, oh, how can Martin get the best of him? Is he good in that 10 role? Is he better out wide? I like him out wide. I think he had some great moments, especially last year, really syncing up with Peter Wilson and serving him, you know, great passes right on the doorstep. There were a couple times where, you know, kind of similar to that Wolfgang assist where Peter didn't even have to do anything, just had to make contact with it. So yeah, something to watch. I'm not worried, but I wonder how Martin feels.
I gotta say, I think this is a pretty epic entry into the annals of Long John Answers, because you managed to attribute to me something you had said at the beginning of your answer and then went on to say exactly what I was going to say in response to your first point. Because I think it says something about Trejo's talent that Martin feels the need to try and put him in different spots, right? You don't do that with somebody who isn't a really good player, you know. You have to be a certain level of quality to be the subject of that type of experiment. And I'm just saying, I think this particular one, we might need to shelve it. It didn't spark joy for me. But I think he has looked really good out on the wings, and I'm not saying bench him. I'm just saying that this particular deployment, maybe not the thing. But that was really all I took from this match. Did you guys take anything else, Peter? You want to chime in here?
Yeah, I guess.
You don't have to. I want to make that clear.
We saw some of these last year. The goal from Peter Wilson was great. And we saw some of those last year where it was like, when they execute that, you wonder how he doesn't score 40 goals a season. You know, and I realize, you know, I understand it was a difficult finish on a difficult ball and they timed it properly. But it's just like, you know, they make it look so easy sometimes. And I think you're right that like we looked much better with Bitache, but you know, I wonder how, like, you know, I think John mentioned the wealth of options that Martin has. I think that a big difficulty of Martin's job is predicting which lineup is going to match up well. Sorry, that's so obvious. What I'm trying to say is, like, John and Aaron are chatting to each other as I'm trying to talk. It's so freaking distracting. Like the Roots benefit, even if Trejo goes out there, it doesn't look like he has the best game in the way he's being deployed. What it does is when you pull him off, you change the shape. And I feel like Wilson has looked better this season with more creative players who aren't the kinds of guys who crash the box. And I wonder if at a certain point of success, teams will start playing him differently and then Trejo will become the better option. Because they're, you know, the way defenses respond to, you know, the kind of goal that Wilson scored in this game. Like, if someone has to come out to try to shut down Batash and they start doing that regularly because they know that Wilson can put away these crosses, well, somebody comes out to close down Batash like that and instead it's Trejo, and Trejo's just going to dribble past them, you know? And I think that you create the opportunities for success by scoring one way instead of the other. What else did I take from this game? I mean, the Roots didn't have a hugely high XG, but like I was rewatching the highlights and they had three good scoring chances in the last 15 minutes. You know, they absolutely could have won this game. You know, if they score earlier, maybe the end of the game is a little different, but you know, Prentice had this great opportunity where he seemed caught between two minds. You know, he either curled a shot pretty terribly or overcooked his cross. But either way, you know, I mean, with the way Wolfgang has played this season, you run that back 10 more times, four of them, it's a goal. You know, either a goal or a cross that gets put in. So, and the Roots primarily, like you said, were hurt by mistakes. They all count the same in a way, but for like predictive purposes going forward, they weren't burned by playing Neville Hackshaw. You know, that is a positive sign.
Yeah, you should definitely mention that, given the stick we gave him.
Yeah, you know.
Or he was fine this game.
Well, and the first goal was not, you know, if you watch it not closely, it looks like that the player who gets run past is our left back. But actually, the player who gets run past is Prentice, who's tracking the man from the left forward position. So it's not De Vicente that gets burned. I don't want to like, I think that their guy, what's his name? Nyonga Bire, you know, is like a burner. He is a good player. And so I don't mean to like heap criticism on Prentice for Nyonga Bire getting past him, but like, that, you know, that's where that to the extent that the defense failed to shut that play down, it wasn't one of the four defenders who failed to shut that play down. Now, Spiegel should get that. If, you know, if a goalkeeper gets his hands to a ball like that, he should be keeping it. But you would, out of context, if someone described how that play went to you, you'd be like, yeah, the Roots are really trying to figure something out on the left side of that defense. And it was not De Vicente or Hackshaw who did anything wrong on that play. So, you know, I think I think De Vicente had been pressing up. And so Prentice was tracking the runner. So like, okay. And final observation about the game, Loudon are very clearly better than their record shows. You know, we previewed that might be the case in our, you know, on our podcast last week. Their goal differential is the same as Charleston, and Charleston is fourth in the Eastern Conference. Now, admittedly, I think that's a little, the weirdness there is almost as much on Charleston's end as on Loudon's end. But like, Loudon had, you know, something like 8 goals scored and 11 goals conceded, which is, you know, you'd rather it be the other way around. But that's not the goal differential of a team without a win so far this season. I think we saw that to an extent. I don't think that this is a result that suggests the Roots aren't as good as we thought. That's, you know, my conclusion is that this is a result that I think that this is a, within the realm of expected possibility, of a very good team traveling from the Western Conference to go play Loudon right now.
Yeah, I can agree there. I am, though, a little concerned with, one, the quality of opponent lately. You know, 3 wins have came against the, 9, 11, and 12 ranked teams in the Western Conference. I still believe New Mexico is going to climb up, but it's something to keep an eye on. You know, and the second half struggles have definitely been apparent in these last 2 appearances. You know, Monterey, definitely a team you should handle regardless of it being the cup. Had quality players on the field, you know, Roots did. Loudon, I mean, yeah, the second half was rough. But that being said, you know, some praise, got to give it to one, you know, Faisal Battash. He's definitely just almost exceeded my expectations so far this year. He's what, 3rd on the team in goal contributions? Yep. So, I mean, he just, you know, like I was talking about the attacking options, he's almost like, oh man, how can you not keep him on the field or, you know, starting? You know, difficult choices there. But another player I want to highlight, you know, De Vicente. I think he's making, you know, good ground on that left back role. It's an important time for him to really make a difference. You know, he's going to have some downfalls defensively, but I think, we've really seen some attacking quality from him. And I think, you know, something really valuable and shows that, you know, Martin believes in his potential is the fact that he's taking every single free kick in every single corner. You know, that is a part of the game plan that says a lot about Martin's belief in his passing ability. You know, if you're planning around that, is that someone you can take off the field when Julian Bravo comes back? So, you know, I was really impressed with him. Maybe one negative takeaway, you know, Bobosi's tackle kind of, you know, I think Bobosi has kind of exceeded my expectations defensively so far this season. When he came into Roots, he was very much like just an attacking minded midfielder. But he's done really well defensively so far this season, but you knew that, you know, some cracks were going to surface, and, you know, it came at the really wrong time. So I do wonder what that means for Ryan Martin. You know, we still have defensive woes. You know, the last game when McCabe was back there against Las Vegas, you know, they looked really good. What do you do there? Is a defender still in the mindset of we're going to sign a center back, or do you maybe bring in a midfielder and say, okay, McCabe, we got a great passing option in McCabe. Maybe we switch him back there. You know, see what they do.
Interesting thought, John. I mean,
is it
makes sense to me. Like I said, I think that, you know, when you have an injury crisis, what happens is that you lose a bunch of people at one position, and then it spirals because other players are trying to compensate, and they're playing in roles and to often in volume that they are just not used to. And the obvious way to combat that is to sign someone for the position where all the injuries are. But you could just as easily say, I'm not sure how bad these injuries are going to be. Guys will come back. We've got a guy who can fill in. Let me sign someone to take his spot at that other place on the pitch, and muddle through in that way. So interesting thought. But let me just say, I think both of your perspectives, your sort of overarching perspectives, they're possibly not incompatible. And it's just something to watch, right? On the one hand, we're looking at a team that looks, just from the eye test, they look so much better than previous iterations of the Oakland Roots.
That is true, right? I do feel kind of spoiled so far. Like, you have to think back about where we came from.
To see,
right?
a stretch of matches with play looking like this. I mean, I think we've probably seen it from time to time. You know, there was a 9-game stretch last season after Benny Failhaber was hired, where I think the Roots won 7 games. And there was that stretch that the high point of which was that thumping of Indy 11 on the road during, I think, Noah Delgado's one full season. But just this feels like something sustainable. And, you know, I don't want to oversimplify things, but when you're trying to get better, object one is to not lose, right? Don't lose and then win. And we haven't quite gotten around to that next part, but you know, step one is don't lose. So, you know, that's accomplished. And at the same time, right, I think it's totally valid to say, look, there 9 games, 5 draws. The only 3 wins were against 3 of the worst teams in the league. And you can look as good as you want, but if you're not going to beat anybody other than the very worst teams in the league, then so what? So something to watch. The nice thing is the schedule is going to start affording us, I think, some opportunities to get a little bit more information about what we're seeing out here. And the first match of this next stretch here is home against El Paso Locomotive, who's pretty good. all things considered. They are on the year so far 4-2-2. They play, they're one of the few teams that plays matches that are as exciting as the Oakland Roots. I mean, I think we should take a minute to appreciate that there have been 25 goals scored in 8 league games for the Oakland Roots. That's over 3 goals a game. And it pales in comparison to the 33 scored in the 8 matches for El Paso Locomotive. So that's great. There should be some, I mean, look, winning is great, but at the end of the day, I also want to be entertained, and I'm very rarely entertained by 0-0. That's just, I need some goals. And these two teams have obliged so far this year. El Paso started the season really hot. They drew their opening week fixture against Colorado Springs and then won 6 league matches in a row. That streak came to an abrupt halt against Houston Dynamo in the Open Cup. Not a league match, but they got thumped by Houston Dynamo 4-1, in part because one of their starting defenders, Kofi Tuomasi, picked up an early red card. He would then not play in the next 2 matches, which El Paso lost against San Antonio FC and FC Tulsa. The match against FC Tulsa also saw an early red card for Locomotive, this one from Gabriel Torres. And so it's hard to know what to take from that. Tuomasi did come back and play the second 45 in their most recent match against New Mexico United, which was a draw. I mentioned that just because for me, when you look at a USL team specifically and you see an abrupt change in form, there's almost always a personnel reason. And so you look at El Paso, and that would be the most obvious one. And if he is back, perhaps you see a return to the form, the blistering form they had to start the season. Other than that, let's look at the attack, right? Rubio Rubin has 5 goals in the season already. Amando Moreno, who had double digit last year, he has 4. Alex Mendez has 3. I mean, and they spread them around. And this is not even to mention other guys you will have heard of if you know from watching the USL. Eric Calvillo, that's their captain. He's of course got a couple of goal contributions, and then a couple of guys that you might have heard of from watching the Oakland. Well, one specifically, Danny Gomez, has gotten on the field quite a bit for the El Paso Locomotive so far this year, after leaving the Bay Area. Memo Diaz is still on the roster, but hasn't played this year, and none of us had the foresight to investigate why that might be. So we'll just assume he likes to stay home. I don't know. But he could be there. He could be there, and that would be pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if he's making gratuitous trips back to the Bay, but I would hope that he might have at least given it some consideration. So this is going to be a challenge, and to the extent we want to start to figure out how real this team is, this is a good matchup, and it's good to get them at home, I think. So John, when the Oakland Roots win this game and start to prove themselves to you, what is it going to look like?
Oh, hold on, John, before you answer the question, I have something to talk about.
Is this revenge for chatting over you behind your back earlier, because you powered through that well. I was so proud, and now you're doing this.
The Roots Instagram, I guess the Roots social media generally, posted the images of their new scarves that say Oakness. I guess it's Oakness Awakens. It reads as Oakness, like the quality of being like an oak.
Like bourbon.
Exactly, which is as compared to the oakness of rye, which tends to be a little less. But okay, so what it reminded me of,
bourbon themed tailgate next
Jesus, man, people would die. When I was living in DC, the Nationals started doing this promotion. They started doing this promotion called Natitude, which is like, oh, okay, fine. I mean, it didn't really land with me, but I understand. Okay, the Nats attitude, right? Okay, but then their ads would say ignite your Natitude, which is like igniting your attitude isn't a phrase. It's not a thing people say. It's, I just didn't understand. This bothered me significantly more than the handful of other Nationals fans that existed at the time. But what it reminds me of is this this like Oak Ness. I guess that's the thing, is by saying Oak Ness awaken, the monster awakens. But reading it as Oakness awakens really feels like an ignite your Natitude situation.
Well, and the monster is not Loch Ness, right? It's the Loch Ness monster.
Right. Yeah, like we, it has a name. It's Lake Merritt. I guess the Loch Merritt monster. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I respect the Roots merch game, but this one is not landing with me. As much as I like the dragon jersey, but the tie-in really feels like a stretch to me, and it did when they announced the jersey too. Anyway,
John, actually he swirled some wine around the glass and sniffed it while you. I mean, I feel like he has some comments on the oakness of the the wine he's consuming right now.
Is something cheap from Safeway?
Oh, so yeah. it's more cardboard than oak, huh?
That's it. Yeah, it was a decoy, I think.
That's a respectable
decoy. Is a reasonable brand. One. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
No shame in decoy.
Nothing bad. Right. That was great, Peter.
I have a buddy who runs a restaurant back home, and I wanted to like. I was there for like a friends and family night, and so I brought a couple of bottles of wine, and one of them was decoy, and he was like, oh yeah, decoy's nice. It's what doctors and lawyers drink at cheap restaurants. I was like, all right, well, here we are.
Anyway. Yeah, here we are. And where we are is John telling us what he wants to see from the Oakland Roots this Saturday.
Yes, yes. Well, like you said earlier, I mean, this is a test, regardless of El Paso's current results, which is, you know, makes me feel a little optimism. Losing 4-1 to Tulsa is not a good look. 2-2 to New Mexico when New Mexico is not playing its greatest. I mean, that's pretty encouraging. So, I mean, what I'm looking for is more of that first half play and that first half play continuing into the second half. A complete game. I mean, this is a test. It's a tough test after, you know, the current string of results. I mean, probably the biggest test of the season was Tampa Bay away, a really good result there. So, you know, I think you just want to get out of this with some points and, you know, a favorable result here. So with that 3-1 Roots.
Okay.
I am inclined to say 2-2, but I'm gonna buy your premise and say that the Roots win 2-1. I don't think the Roots are gonna keep a clean sheet against El Paso, but I think that one of my favorite things about Martin so far this season, he like refuses to play less than 4 or 5 forwards. Like, you would think that missing some defenders, he'd be like, oh, we should put in an extra defensive midfielder and try to shore up that defense. And he's like, no, man, no, 4 forwards and 2 true midfielders, because we're here to win. So anyway, I think that the Roots will win. I think that they are honing in on how to get all of these attacking midfielders to get the ball to Wilson the right way.
Yeah, I see a win too. Not just because we're absurdly optimistic on this podcast, but it just feels like home against a team that's coming off a short break. Something is clicking. El Paso doesn't have the greatest defense. I mean, they have surrendered quite a few goals this season. They've surrendered 1.7 a match, basically, which is insane. I mean, I love it, but that's insane. I'm seeing 4-2 Roots. The last one will come, you know, at the very end of the game, but I think 4-2 to the Oakland Roots. All right, so there we have it. This weekend, I think it's AAPI night at the Oakland Coliseum. First match of a pretty important stretch for the Oakland Roots. I mean, there's not really any team that has separated itself from the pack so far in the USL this season. There's a lot of teams kind of packed into what you might describe as the upper middle class of the USL right now. This is an opportunity for the Roots to start separating themselves from the pack a little bit and start having their results reflect the quality of their play so far this season. So big match this weekend, Oakland Roots, El Paso Locomotive at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. We hope to see you there. And until then, of course, up the Roots.